Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Well, it's brilliant to be here with you, like I was saying earlier. And you know what? I hope you've all noticed my lovely Christmassy scarf to get me into that Christmas mood, because I don't know about you. I mean, how are your plans working out for Christmas? Is everything kind of going smoothly? Are you feeling very relaxed at this stage? Have you got all the presents wrapped, just like Andrew? Everything organised? Everything just how it should be? Or are you still stressing a little bit with, what is it now, sort of 6 or 7 days to go to get everything ready? I know when it comes to our family, probably the Christmas plans haven't been going quite the way we thought they were going to go. Not exactly how we planned. You know, November had been a pretty busy month for us with Hope and the AQE and lots of just different things going on. And then, you know, church, we were ramping up for Christmas, getting excited about what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, unfortunately, a lot of us have come down with different things, and for us, the Too Good House, it's been COVID. So isolation again, and you know, church online, it's not what we expected. But we have lots of opportunities still to reach people. Isn't it fantastic that we get to do this, even though we can't meet in person just at the minute, because we're giving people the time just to recuperate, to strengthen and build themselves up again. We still are able to connect together as a church family. So that's fantastic. And you know what? Sometimes God's plans don't always look the way that we think they're going to look. And I'm not saying that, you know, God wants any of us to be sick in any way. I'm not talking about that. But just in life, sometimes things don't quite go the way that we think they should. And sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that we weren't expecting. But what I love is that it never stops God's purposes. It never stops the plans that he has for our lives. Today, no matter what is happening around you, you can have complete confidence that no matter what is going on, the enemy is defeated. You know, no matter what his schemes are, they're always just on the back foot, because he's always playing catch up with what God is doing, because God is the one who's in control. And you know, probably for us over the last week or so, we haven't really felt in control of stuff. Lots of things that you can do suddenly get taken away from you. You can even go out to the shops. You've got to stay in the house. You know, you can't, even the dog's cracking up. She's been in quarantine too. But there's that sense of, you know, it can feel like there's so many things that we can't do. And things haven't been the way we planned. But when I thought about that, I was thinking about the Christmas story, and I thought, you know, let's look back at what Adam was talking about last week and for Mary. And you know, things didn't go the way that she would have planned for her life. As a young girl who was engaged to be married, she was excited about stepping into that new season and starting a new life with Joseph. And then all of a sudden she gets that visit from the angel, and suddenly life is turned completely upside down. And there's this incredible news that she is going to be the mother. She's going to be the one that carries the Son of God. But with it becomes all the risks and the dangers and the risk to her reputation. And what will her life now look like? Will Joseph still love her? Will he marry her? Will he reject her? What's going to happen? And there are so many questions. And yet she says, "Let it be to me according to your will." And she chooses to put a complete trust and a complete confidence in God. Isn't that incredible? And for Joseph too, you know, things didn't go quite the way he pictured it. You know, he was excited about marrying his bride, and then all of a sudden he finds this news that she's pregnant, and oh my goodness. And then he gets the visit from the angel in a dream, and he's told the whole thing, and he then makes the choice that he will marry Mary, he will take care of her. And they then start on this kind of incredible adventure that they didn't expect to be on. And you know what? It was probably a lot of things that happened to them that were pretty inconvenient. You know, for us over the last week or so, and probably for many of us during lockdown, there's been lots of times where things have just felt a bit inconvenient. You know, we can't go to this place. Different plans have been cancelled. There's been restrictions of what we can do and who we can be with and where we can go, and just so many things that felt inconvenient. But I think when I really put it into perspective, for Mary and Joseph, it would be pretty inconvenient when you're about to have a baby to have to leave your home, your friends, your family, and travel to a place that you don't really know, or you don't know where you're even going to stay. I mean, that was pretty inconvenient for them. And you kind of think, seriously, why did all of that have to happen? I mean, what was the thinking behind it all? And yet you realize how God was weaving his incredible plans and his incredible purposes through it all. Things that we couldn't see, things that we couldn't understand, things that would have been limited to their understanding at that time. But he was taking them on an incredible journey because the Son, the King, the Son of God, the King of the whole universe, he was about to arrive on the earth in an incredible way. And I was just thinking about how, you know, even people who would have felt like their enemies at the time, or people, you know, the Roman authorities and Caesar Augustus, who'd, you know, called into place the census, and he'd been the one who'd, you know, made that decision that you know, you'd have to go back to your hometown, so they would have to go back to Bethlehem. Isn't that incredible how God was using him, how Caesar Augustus was just aligning himself with God's purposes, where something that he decreed, something that he felt in control of, where he was making a decision over people's lives, he was actually just falling into place with the plans that God had set in place from the beginning, the foundation of the earth. Isn't that incredible? God uses everything, every situation, and he reveals his glory through it. And I just want to encourage each one of us today that God is working behind the scenes of our lives. You know, that's something that we're continually saying from the front, and I feel that it's such a message for every one of us. If we can take hold of that and understand that even though we can't understand everything at times, you know, that's the journey that we've been called to walk, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And I love that song. We've been singing loads in church, Waymaker. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Jesus, I'm just so thankful for that. So today, even though we're not in the room, this service is online. And you know what? God is going to touch the people that he wants to touch. This message is going to get right to the people that he wants to share it with. And even though sometimes it can feel like life's getting smaller, actually, that's often the very times when God's doing the most significant things. So I just am so confident today that God is using everything that we're doing, that nothing is wasted. And I love these verses in Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Isn't that amazing? That God uses his word, he takes his word, and his word will always accomplish the purpose which he destined it for. So today, as we declare these words, as we speak these words, they're going to go out. They're going to be seed into people's hearts. They're going to bring life. They're going to bring fulfillment. They're going to bring just encouragement and hope to people who need it. So today, just get ready to receive. Because as you can see, it's Christmassy. We've got the Christmas tree here. We're talking about Christmas. And we'd love you to be in the room with us. But even last week when I was listening at home, I still felt that sense of togetherness, that we're a family, and that actually families are united, and a church family is united by the Spirit. So there is such power here today, even though I'm speaking now and the room's empty, there is such power because actually together in the Spirit, God is connecting us. So we're going to look at the Christmas story, and we're going to join Mary and Joseph as they approach Bethlehem. So we're going to read in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went up to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, we've probably all heard this story so many times, haven't we? You know, from children upwards, and we all kind of know the nativity version of the story. You know, and I know for me as a woman that when you read this, you kind of don't really want to think too much about the details. I mean, even the fact that you're far from home would be the most sort of worrying factor for me. You know, most of us, when we're pregnant, we go to the hospital and we have all those, you know, chats with the midwives, and you write a birthing plan, and you kind of know to some sense, you know, what's going to happen. But for Mary, none of these details were covered. She had no idea what was going to happen. She knew she was going to have a baby, but she didn't know any of the details, who was going to be with her, how it was all going to take place. And it all kind of seems a bit crazy and thrown together. And I kind of think, you know, this was God's son. Why did the Lord not take care of these details? Was it that they just didn't matter to him where the baby was born? Or is it just that our limited human thinking would never have been able to conceive of this incredible plan that God had put in place? So this morning, I want to challenge you about some of the details that we remember about the Christmas story, because often we're looking at the Christmas card version of it. And, you know, we've seen done the school play so many times, and we've seen the kids in the play, that we've kind of got a picture in our heads of what it looks like. But I want to go back and actually look at what's actually written in the Word and some of the details, and hopefully help you discover that there is such richness. There is such just an incredible message coming through here, even deeper than one that you've discovered so far. For me, I just felt the other day that God was saying, just look at the story of the shepherds. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I want to just uncover some incredible truths that hopefully are going to make this whole thing come alive again to you. So I just want to, first of all, draw your attention to verse 7, because we can easily miss over some of these details. Because it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, first thing we need to notice, because again, we've got the sort of the school nativity scene in our heads, there is no mention of a donkey at this point, or animals or cattle. And there's actually no mention of a stable. And it doesn't say when there's no place for them in the inn. The innkeeper doesn't go, oh, but there's a little stable I've got round the back. That's always one of the lines, isn't it, that the kids say. But actually, there's no mention of that at all. So where did this obsession with the stable and the animals come from? Well, Jesus, we know, was laid in a manger. And a manger was either a feeding trough, or it would have been a stall where newborn animals were laid. So because of that, it's kind of created that stable scene in people's minds, and we've put in a whole load of animals just to make it cozy and look kind of cute. And because you need to dress all the kids up in different things, don't we? We need a cow, and we need a sheep, and we need a goat, and everything else for everyone to have a part. But why does all this matter? Well, I found the more that I studied these details, that we start to see how important they all are and why they're relevant. Because this was not a lack of planning on God's part. He didn't just go, oh my goodness, flip, they need to go to Bethlehem now. Right, okay, gosh, the place is full. Hopefully somebody will find somewhere for Mary to go. Everything was thought out. And actually, it was probably the most thought out plan for all of eternity, down to the very place, I believe, for where Jesus was born. And for this to all make sense, then I need to carry on the story and introduce the character of the shepherds. Like I said, we're going to be looking at the shepherds today. So we're going to read on in Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, obviously, when we think shepherds, we're all there, aren't we? We've got it pictured in our minds. They're wearing dressing gowns and they've got tea towels wrapped around their heads with the Daddy Scott ties, you know, sort of stuck around them. But obviously, we're trying to think a little bit more about shepherds and why shepherds. So if we can just put the dressing gowns to the side at the minute. And, you know, I was looking and sort of contemplating, and we've probably all sort of thought at times, you know, why was it the shepherds that he went to first? I mean, what was so special about them? Why were they the ones that were set apart? And, you know, there's lots of sort of conclusions that people come to, because often the shepherds would have been seen as the lowly in society. It wouldn't have been like, you know, the most wanted job to be out there in the fields all the time, you know, in the cold and the wet. It would have been smelly, it would have been dirty. So they would have kind of been considered as maybe the poorer ones or uneducated. And, you know, maybe the religious leaders would have thought that they should have been the ones to hear about the Messiah, because they were the ones who knew all about God and they were the important ones. But maybe God couldn't choose them because they wouldn't be humble in heart. They wouldn't be ready to receive a Savior who'd come to save the whole world. Maybe they would have wanted the Savior just for themselves, and they wouldn't have shared the message of God's love and the fact that sin was going to be forgiven. So for some people, they look and they think the shepherds, they're the ideal choice. They're humble in spirit. It shows that God came to give this message to everyone, no matter what their position in society. He came, he loved all people. And, you know, that's one reason. And, you know, that could be a reason. But the more that I was reading, the more I realized that there was a relevance about these shepherds, because they were not any shepherds. These were shepherds who were fulfilling temple duties, because these would have been the ones allowed to perform duties in the temple. So they would have actually been Levitical shepherds. They would have actually been priests who were given this role of tending sheep. And how do we know this? How can we say, well, these were not just any kind of shepherds? These were special shepherds. These were from, these had been trained by as priests. How do we know that? Well, it's recorded in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, that would have been the oral traditions of the Jewish people. So there would have been documents that had been, you know, recorded with all of the different oral traditions of the Jewish people that had been, you know, during the time of the Pharisees. And it was one of the regulations. And it says that it would have expressly forbidden the keeping of flocks throughout the land of Israel, except in the wilderness. So if you were a shepherd, your flocks had to be out in the wilderness. You couldn't just be in any area. But the only flock that could be different were the ones that were kept for the temple services. So these shepherds who were found just outside Bethlehem, Bethlehem wasn't the wilderness area. Okay, there was people in this area. So these shepherds were not any kind of shepherds. These shepherds were the ones that were raising the sheep that were going to be used for the sacrifices in the temple. And so what was their job? Their job was to find the lambs that were without any spot or any blemish. And these lambs would then be presented in the temple, and they would be offered as an atonement for the sin of the people. So these men would have been given their lives to this service to find perfect, acceptable sacrifices that could be offered to God. But as we know, their job was relentless, because they continually needed to bring these sacrifices. They continually needed to raise these sheep to find these lambs so they could find the perfect ones. But they were only perfect in the sense that they covered over sin. They couldn't deal with the sin. So these shepherds were the ones that the angels came and announced the good news that actually the need for a sacrifice was coming to an end, because a perfect lamb was coming who would deal with the sin of the whole world. So these people, these shepherds, had been chosen because this was what their whole life was about, raising sheep to be sacrificed. And I love the fact that there are more hidden details for us to discover. So we read again in Luke 2, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And listen to this, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, have you ever stopped to think about whenever they gave the shepherds this message, how did the shepherds know where to go to? Okay, they've said, oh, you're going to see, you know, the Saviour's come in the city of David. So that would have been Bethlehem. But how did they know exactly where to go to? We might think, well, actually, maybe they just followed the star, because if we're watching like the kiddies cartoon version and there's a big massive star in the sky directly beaming a light into a stable. But it doesn't say follow the star. That's not the message that they're given. So how do they know? What is the sign that they say they'll see? It says, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So for us to really get our heads around the significance of this, of the manger and the swaddling cloths, we need to look closer about these particular shepherds and the fields where they were actually situated. Because even though the shepherds were kept out in the fields, when it came to lambing time, when it came to bringing the ewes in to have the lambs, they took them to a certain place where they would be protected and where they would be safe. So the lambs wouldn't just be let, the sheep wouldn't just be left out in the fields to have their lambs. They would often be brought in to a certain place. And this was actually a place that is mentioned in the Bible. And it's called, if I can say this right, Migdal Eder, or it's also referred to as the watchtower of the flock. Now this actual place is mentioned way back in Genesis. So it would have been known to the children of Israel, this place, Migdal Eder. And it's mentioned in Genesis 35. It's just after Rachel and Isaac are buried. And it says, Israel, who would have been Jacob, moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. So this place, the watchtower of the flock. And then it's mentioned again in a prophecy in Micah. And it's Micah 4:8. And this is when the whole prophecy talking about the coming king. And it says, as for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. And then if you read on in Micah 5, we find the whole significance of Bethlehem being revealed. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. I just love how everything's significant, how every little detail is so important. So there's this place outside of Bethlehem, and it's called the Watchtower of the Flock, or it's called Migdal Eder, and it's known to the Jewish people. And this is a place where shepherds would have brought their sheep, the shepherds, the Levitical shepherds, brought the sheep to have the lambs because it was sheltered. It was probably a cave, but from it, there would have been like a viewing point where they could see over all of the flocks. And it's incredible when you think about, you know, we're not talking about a few sheep here. Because of the amount of people that would have come to Jerusalem every year because of the festivals and the Passover, they would have needed to have had about, I think that I was reading about 250,000 lambs every year to be able to give to people to use for the Passover and for atoning for their sins. So this was a lot of sheep, which would have needed a lot of watching over. So this place was known. And this particular place was where the shepherds would have brought the sheep that were about to give birth, and they would have been in this place of safety. And then the incredible thing is they would have inspected them. So they'd been born in safety, and then they would expect them to see which ones could have been used in the temple. Now those little lambs without spot or blemish, this is incredible. Do you know what they did with them? They would have wrapped them in swaddling cloths to keep them clean. And then they would have laid them in a stall or a manger, because a stall and manger would have been the same thing. So that would have been a place where they would have put these lambs that were going to be used for the sacrifice, wrapped in swaddling cloths and put in a manger at this place called the Tower of the Flocks. So when you think about this, suddenly this whole message has a completely different meaning, because the message now, the angels are saying, you know that place, the Tower of the Flocks? You know that place where you go and you wrap your lambs to keep them safe, to keep them clean, to keep them pure so that they can be taken to the to the temple to be sacrificed? Well, if you go there, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, a new lamb that's come from heaven, that's going to come to take the sin of the world. He's going to be the new sacrifice. Isn't this just incredible? You know, Mary, she found herself in an unknown place, far from her family, far from her friends. And she was carrying this baby, the Messiah. And maybe only a handful of people know about the fact that he's going to be born. And she doesn't even know where she's going to take him. You know, on the outside, it could seem like this was the worst case of planning ever. You know, Corb, what were you thinking? You've left this poor young girl to go off to a strange town, to Bethlehem, and it's crowded and there's too many people and she can't even find a place to have a baby. And she ends up having him in some cave, some random cave somewhere, and she's nowhere to put him, and she puts him in a manger and she's got to wrap him in these cloths. So suddenly Mary is visited by these shepherds. And the shepherds that had raised these lambs, they came and they actually got to see the Lamb of God before them. So could it be that this manger that we talk about was actually the place where those lambs were put every day, and now Jesus lies in it. Now, I did a lot of research over the last while, and there's nothing to say 100% that that's true, but there's nothing to say 100% that it's not. But I don't think that God does coincidences. I don't think, if you go and read about those places, they're all there. If you read about what the shepherds would have done, that's all there. And I just love the fact that God puts details in for a reason, because he wants us to discover his incredible plans. Because the things that might happen in your life that you think, why on earth is that? Why am I going this way when I should be going that way? Why is that happening when I thought it should have looked like this? Often when we can't see, it's actually just because God has something so much bigger. And actually, if he was to reveal it to us, we wouldn't understand it, and we'd end up going in the wrong direction. Because if Mary was asked, do you want to go and have your baby in Bethlehem, or do you want to stay here with your mum and your aunts and everybody else to look after you? She'd be saying, oh, stuff Bethlehem, I'm staying here. I know I would. But actually, she wasn't to know all of those details. How could she even know all of those things that God had planned from the foundation of the world? And I just love the fact that God makes things so clear to us through pictures. He wants to make it so simple to us. And so that the theme of the lamb had been used throughout just the Jewish history. That symbol of the lamb, how they were delivered from Egypt by taking the lamb and killing it the night before and putting the blood on the doorposts, that would be how they would be protected. And then every year, the Jewish people had been remembering that as the Passover and celebrating and sacrificing the lambs and taking them to their homes. And so this continual need to sacrifice was built into the rhythm of their lives. And, you know, if we think about it, this the theme of the lamb was introduced even before the Passover. If you think about Abraham in Genesis 22, when he had to take his son Isaac up the mountain, and you just think, God is so incredible. How you point continually to the sacrifice of your son, how from the very beginning you were pointing the fact to the rescue plan that you had for all eternity. When just read in Genesis 22 where he says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. I mean, what words to hear, his son that he loved. And yet it was just a picture of what he would do, of what he would be prepared to do for us. And when Isaac and Abraham went there, we all know the story that actually the ram became the substitute. So the ram died in Isaac's place. And even when we think again about actual places, physical places, that was on Mount Moriah. And that was 2,000 years before Jesus was born. And it was a wilderness area then. And yet 1,000 years later, when King David had established the city of Jerusalem, and next his son Solomon built the first Jewish temple in that place, 1,000 years on from Abraham's day. And we can read in 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, it says, then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. So 2,000 years after Abraham's test, then Jesus, the Lamb of God, is brought to Jerusalem, to that same place, that same mountain, and that's where he lays down his life. I just love the fact that God is continually pointing to his goodness, continually pointing to the sacrifice of this Lamb. Everything points to Jesus. And we read in John from the words of John the Baptist where he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the reason that Jesus came. And today what I love about Christmas is we get to be like the shepherds. We have been chosen by God to receive this incredible news of salvation. So today, no matter how we see ourselves, because of Jesus, he's looking at us as a perfect and complete, as that lamb without spot or blemish, because Jesus has taken all that away from us. And just like the shepherds, we get to deliver that good news. We get to see this incredible history, this incredible story unfold in all of these amazing details and just be amazed and stand in awe and wonder at what God's done. And no matter, what plans or what we think life might look like, we can see that God is always working behind the scenes. And whatever he destines over our lives will come to pass because he is greater than all of it. No matter our mistakes or what we might get wrong or what other people might throw at us or what life might throw at us, his plans and purposes are way beyond any of that, and his purposes will prevail. You know, Mary, in amid all that confusion, found herself in the perfect place. You know, it might have felt like she had no idea what was going on, and yet when those shepherds came to her and they knelt down before her and they worshipped Jesus, the Son of God, she knew that she'd been put in exactly the right place. So for us, we've got to trust today that God has us where he wants us to be, that he's going to lead us, that he is going to guide us, that he's going to take care of us, that he will protect us, that he will be with us. And there's so much of the treasure in his word. I've just, you know, loved just going over that story again and going, God, there's so much more there than I ever knew. And you've even more for me to discover. Like, I just feel like I'm scratching the surface because I kind of got into the crazy Google search over the last few days of, oh my word, look at this about the shepherds, look at that. This is just amazing. There is so much more. But that's just the tip of the iceberg into everything that God wants us to see. He wants to reveal just his incredible nature, just the vastness of his plans for us, for our lives, his glory, his beauty. And you know what? It's easy just to go through the motions at Christmas, isn't it? It's easy to kind of go, oh yeah, I kind of know the story. Like, seriously, Penny, tell me something new. But I know that I haven't heard it all. We're only just starting. And for me, Christmas is all about surprises. So I'm excited, you know, for the next few days and getting things ready for our family. And, you know, it would have been lovely to share more of the stuff with church. But hey, who knows what God is going to do in the new year? I just think there's a new season coming where God is starting so many new things in us. But he's birthing things. And you know what? I hope that over this Christmas, as you dwell on that story, as you read and research and think a little bit more about it, that you are excited about what God's going to do in and through you in this season.